You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
Let's do it later.
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes.
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy?
Fall Guy.
That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th, hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady, live only on Netflix.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
I'm Franny Benali.
There's this Klaus Lundekvam.
I'm Matt Letitia.
Dean Hammond here.
And you're listening to In That Number.
Here is Letitia in his standing. Number! There's the reply. Barry of the Haas. History made.
It's James Beattie. Oh, Belter.
Barry for the hat-trick.
Pass lifts it and he's got it in as well! And Danny Ings has done it again!
Thanks for checking out In That Number with me, Kevin, the Moscow Mush Middleton, and Ray Hunt. Find me on Twitter at Moscow Mush and my co-host Ray Hunt at RayHunt84. Follow the show at Number Podcast on Twitter, In That Number Podcast on Instagram and Facebook. If you've got any questions for the show, if you can be bothered, send us an email to inthatnumberpodcast@gmail.com. Leave us a 5-star review on iTunes or wherever it is you get your podcasts. Share, subscribe, and give us good vibes. Let's go.
Welcome to another episode of In That Number. This is episode number 167. Yet another bad week for the Saints, a heavy defeat at the hands of champions Manchester City. The pressure on Ralph continues to build. Is there any chance that he can hang on? Is he already out the door before the West Ham game? We'll discuss this and more, and we'll be jumping into our preview for next Sunday's return home against the Hammers. Big, big game that one now. It'd be Ralph's last one in charge. With me, as always, is the Moscow Mush, Kevin Milverton. Kevin, how's the mood with you?
I'm all right. I'm fine.
That's good. Yeah, yeah. I mean, that game was to be expected, wasn't it? So.
Yeah, I don't think it changes anything in my opinion.
No, not really mine either. But yeah, the mood's still low anyway. But I'll try and lighten the mood with another one of my terrible jokes.
I hate this kind of
thing. Jokes about feet are corny, but jokes about eyes are cornier.
Hey.
Terrible. Kevin, let's discuss the elephant in the room then, the Ralph situation. You heard my stance last week, and nothing that happened against City was going to change my mind on that. But yeah, how are you feeling about the situation now?
Yeah, I don't think this is the test of Ralph's leadership. I think the game's to come.
The games or the game?
We'll see. Maybe another terrible defeat. The hands of West Ham could be enough for him, but I hope he gets at least a couple of chances to do something with this team.
Well, see, it's one thing to lose to Man City, but if you're losing to the teams in and around you, like we did to Wolves, like we did to Villa, like we did to Everton. And if you go and do it against West Ham as well, then, you know, that's where you need to take a stand, isn't it? Because there's only so many teams in the Premier League and you have to beat some of them.
Yeah, I mean, theoretically, yeah, you have to beat at least three of them, don't you?
No, yeah, and we haven't done that. Very, very disappointing. Ralph said, you know, post-City match, and I'll quote, I'm not thinking in this direction, to be honest, never. Since I'm a manager, it's the first time in my managerial career that I get such questions, to be honest. I'm 16 years a manager. I've never answered these questions, and I really don't use any energy thinking about it. Do you believe that? Or is it just something that you has to say?
Yes and no. I mean, I suppose you can't, you know, spend all of your time worrying about something like that. That's just inevitable, isn't it? I think you have to focus on the job at hand. But yeah, it must be affecting him somewhat. I think he understands the pressure he's under.
Yeah, I think he just needs to concentrate all his energies and put in the best, you know, prepared team on the field to get the 3 points against West Ham. Just put all your efforts into doing that, and, you know, hopefully that will take the pressure off of him with a win that needs to happen. I don't know, if you were expecting a miracle at City and, you know, Saints were just going to turn around the results and it's all going to be great thereafter, then you're very much mistaken, because City outplayed us in every way. They put six past United, they put six past Forest, and they went up to St James's Park and put in three. So, you know, four was pretty tame by their standards. And Haaland only scored one, so that's not as bad as I personally predicted. And I suppose if you look at it like that, 4-0 away to the champions in their current form with the golfing class, it isn't as bad as a lot of us predicted. And I even went for a 5-0 loss, and I think you went 4-2, didn't you? So you've got to be more disappointed than that than I am, right?
Yeah, I mean, looking back, that was incredibly ambitious, really, to think that we'd get a goal against City.
Yeah, we didn't even get a shot on target.
Yeah.
But we're here to bring the mood up, yes?
Yeah, that's our job. Well, it's my job at least, anyway.
Yes. If you enjoy what we do and you feel like you want to buy us a coffee or a pint, please head over to buymeacoffee.com/in that number and check it out on there. Kevin, ITN News?
Yeah, let's have a quick stab at that.
This is ITN In That Number News.
So I want to start by, I mean, have you heard about the closure to the block one at St Mary's?
I knew what you told me.
Yeah, I mean, I saw a lot of it on Twitter that when it was announced, then some of the fans are up in arms, and, well, rightly so, some of them weren't. I've seen some reports on The Echo as well. Some people, I think they try to get a balanced piece of journalism for a change. I try to get it from both ends. They were warned that this could happen after trouble against Leeds, which was the first home game of the season. And then that 2-1 loss to Everton, a match day report found 27 missiles thrown across the segregation line by both home and away fans. So they closed block one and then just moving people up. But isn't that just moving the problem down a bit? You know, what is it going to achieve doing that? Because, you know, trouble is still going to be caused elsewhere then. And, you know, it's just going to affect the atmosphere.
I suppose so. I mean, that's the Itchen North, isn't
it? Yeah, right by the away fans.
Yeah, so I think, well, if the problem is that the missiles come into the away fans, then, I suppose that's going to mitigate it somewhat. But, yeah, I think against Leeds or some of the roundier teams, you can expect a bit of trouble, I guess, but Brighton or... or City, you know, I don't think we're expecting anything too bad.
No, I mean, but what about the fans that get, you know, they sit in block one, they just want to go and watch the game of football and they get their seats moved. And my point is, right, they've got a CCTV and they're supposed to be so good inside the stadiums these days and they can pinpoint any face on any seat. So why aren't they giving the perps the bans? You know, that's what it's there for, isn't it?
That's a very good point. Yeah, I mean, we had a tour, didn't we, of the ground, and they had that huge, camera rig. It's right in the middle of the Itchen stand, isn't it?
Yes, by the...
By the corporate boxes.
Corporate boxes, yeah, that's right. Yeah, I mean, surely, if they get 27 people that are doing that, then get those 27 people out.
I think most of the really high-resolution cameras are pointed at the away fans rather than the home fans. So, yeah, maybe it could be difficult to figure out, you know, who's done what.
But then I've seen somebody else as well. I can't remember who it was. I forget. But you know, they're saying that there's a main issue here, that they're letting away fans into the home seats, because we see that all the time. And you know, that's a security issue. You can't be doing that. That's gonna cause more problems than anything, isn't it?
It depends where you put them. I mean, if they're sat in the chapel, nothing's gonna happen at all.
I don't know. Well, I mean, I went to that Coventry game, and yeah, you know, was it back in March? Then the FA Cup, and I had a Coventry fan sat next to me, which wasn't nice. But he didn't have a sky blue on or anything. He was just like quietly going about his business, just cheering when they scored. But I don't like it. I don't think they should be allowed into the home end. I still don't. But that, I've also heard as well. I mean, I don't know if you've heard this, but there was a fan that got a 3-year ban from football for throwing gum at a Newcastle fan. This is a Saints fan.
Wow.
He threw gum, right? It's fucking chewing gum. And this went to court.
I mean, was it like stuff that he chewed in his mouth, or just pulled it out of his pocket and threw it?
I think it was out of his mouth. But even so, like, it's just, oh, I don't know. But in the immediate aftermath of that incident, Saints actually handed this guy a 3-year ban from attending any Saints games. But at his sentencing, they had the sentencing this week, actually, the chair of the magistrates, right, handed him a 3-year football ban. So barring him from any football in the UK. And he was ordered to pay a £100 fine, £34 victim surcharge and £85 in court costs. What the fuck is going on?
I don't know.
It was gum. It was gum. What a waste of time. I don't know.
Draconian, isn't it?
Yeah, in fact, we've wasted too much time talking about it in general, so I think we should just move on to more lighthearted news. If you are interested, the much-anticipated documentary following the Saints Academy will be shown on CBBC, and that's starting on October the 24th. So, yeah, I'm looking forward to that. Note for your diaries there.
Yeah, there was another documentary about Saints, though, wasn't there?
Was that Crime Watch?
That's getting robbed week in, week out. Yeah, I think it's promoting the much fanfared halo effect.
Oh, of course, yes.
Could be worth a watch.
It's just the tree planting at Staplewood.
Yeah, well, have a look and tell me if it's worth watching. Speaking of the Academy, we've got a new addition, a 16-year-old Jaden Magoma.
I saw that, yeah.
From Spurs. Don't know much about him.
Yeah, no, it's just a scholarship deal, isn't it? And I think he's going straight to the under-18s. And I think, yeah, he played a couple of about 20 minutes in the under-18s game against Derby. So, yeah, just welcome aboard.
Yeah, I hear we're going to Miami.
Quite possibly, yeah. That's news that popped up on my feed this morning.
Yeah, just a nice holiday for the World Cup.
Just the winter break in Miami, warm weather training camp. Why not, eh? Because none of the Saints players are going to be going. Any more news from you, Kevin?
I'm surprised we had any news at all, to be honest.
The fact that we've managed to get four little bits of news for you is, I think that's quite good. Four being the magic number this week.
Yeah.
Loneys, then. It's this one. Kegs Chalky. Oh, my goodness. Yeah, he played for Exeter, because he's on loan at Exeter, obviously. And he played against our beloved B team in the Papa John's Trophy on Tuesday night, and he fucking scored the winner, didn't he? That's just... Oh.
Is that allowed?
Yeah, well, we let him play, apparently, and he comes and does that and celebrated. Yeah, that hurt a little bit. Smart.
Did he have to celebrate?
No, but he did. So, yeah, disappointing. Nathan Teller, he's on the score sheet again, Kev, for Burnley. They won 1-0 at Coventry, and yeah, he's having a bloody good season up there, isn't he? Has 5 goals in 12 appearances under what's his name, your mate, Vincent Kompany. He's doing really well. He's getting the best out of him. Because Ralph can't. Sorry, it's not a knock on Ralph. I'm not going to do it.
Leave Ralph alone.
Yeah, I'm going to leave him alone. Actually, I did want to talk about Oriol Romeu as well. A little quick update on him. He's played all 5 of Girona's games since leaving Saints. I mean, he scored 1. And also, he's the leader in yellow cards, despite having played half of the games. So, yeah, get in there, Rom. There we are. 3 birthdays in the week, Kevin. Sunday the 2nd, we had Neil Maddison.
54.
Oh, my God, he's 53.
Oh, wow, okay. That's pretty good.
And Wednesday the 5th, Ken Wynn-Jones.
45.
He's 38.
Oh, wow. Okay.
And lastly, first ever sick for Bruce Grobbelaar.
Christ. 62.
That's a good guess. He's 65.
Wow.
Good guess. I suck at ages. I would be no good at that, by the way. So, yeah, that was good. Good guesses. The Bees, then. B team. Two matches last week. They had that Papa John's Trophy tie at Exeter, which I mentioned. 2-1 loss. But Don Ballard with our goal, another one to add to his tally already this season. And as I mentioned, the Judas that is Keggs Jalky with the winner for them. And Saturday, a 2-0 win over Aston Villa at Snow Stadium. And that was first half goals from Cammy Doyle and Luke Pearce. So that's moved them up to fourth now, just 3 points off the lead, which Leeds is atop of the league, but they filled half their bloody first team for the under-21s anyway. So, and the next match, it's a big one, Kev. They got Pompey at Fratton Park in the Hampshire FA Senior Cup. That is Tuesday, the 11th of October, 7:30 kickoff. It's £10 a ticket, so get yourself up to Fratton Park for that one, and just make sure you don't throw any chewing gum, though. The women, then. Last weekend, whilst we were recording, they had a disappointing 2-0 loss to Coventry United in the Continental Cup. And then the next match, they're back home in the Championship at home to Birmingham City under the lights at the Snows. And that's Monday the 17th and a 7 p.m. kickoff. Under-18s, League Cup victory over Derby at Loughborough University Stadium. That was a 1-0 win. And Nick Oyakhunla settling the tie. Their next match, then, they got Norwich in the Premier League under-18. That's Saturday the 22nd of October, 11 a.m. kickoff. And that is at Staplewood. Right, all up to date with the Bees, the women and the under-18s. So now we just have to go to the senior team. Yeah, Christ indeed. So it's Man City, right? So it's not going to be pretty, recent years anyway, despite drawing both games with them last season. They've won just once in the last 12. Won the last ever game at Main Road and the first ever visit to the Etihad back in 2004. Since then, just 2 points in the subsequent 11. So, yeah, and that record will continue as we got hammered 4-0. João Cancelo after 20, Phil Foden after 32, Riyad Mahrez after 49, and the man of the moment, Erling Haaland, after 65. Starters then, Kev, four changes for us. Pero for Larios, Salisu for Chaleta Takar, Diallo for Maitland-Niles, and Adam Armstrong for Sekou Mara. So all positive changes, yes?
Yeah, definitely. Talk about Armstrong, but the others, I suppose, you could see his improvements somewhat. Good to see Pro back.
Definitely, and yeah.
Salisu's taken out the team kind of unfairly, I suppose. So.
I think the Chaleta Car one was kind of like just get him in, wasn't it? Just to give him a game. It was only Everton. So.
Yeah, test the waters.
Yeah, and it needed his day. I mean, Diallo for Maitland-Niles, I don't know, was that okay? Were you okay with that one?
I mean, they're both pretty dire.
Yeah, and, well, Mara's not really been filling me with any confidence, so Adam Armstrong I'd rather have in the side anyway. So I thought it was positive. I looked at it. I mean, mind you, I thought it was positive against Everton as well. I was okay with it. And one thing that I did note was that he didn't set up defensively. You know, he went with, in my honest opinion, with the best 11 that he has, with the exception of like a Livramento or a Lavia, of course, but they're injured. But the best he could have possibly fielded.
Yeah, he didn't do. He did what you said that you would do. Go stick with it 4-2-2-2 and have your best 11 there rather than
and go for risk, it. Yeah,
risk well, five at the back and try and hold them off and fail at anyway.
Okay, yeah. In my defence, I was kind of like half joking about going all out defensively, but I was glad, and I think Ralph needs to take some credit for that, because that's one thing that he doesn't do really, does it? He does like to go for it with his team selections, and which is nice. You know, you never want to see a team that's just going to be set up to not concede more than a certain amount of goals. So he did go with his best 11 available, and when I say go for it, we didn't really go for it, did we? Because after that first City goal went in, it was just kind of like everyone back behind the ball to prevent more from going in. And we all know what happened there. Bad start, wasn't it? And City showing their intentions early on, I think it was like less than 60 seconds. And then Bella Kotchap goes down. And then we all feared the worst. And thankfully he ran that one off.
Yeah, Mark Morris gets a shot off straight from from the kickoff, basically, doesn't he?
Just wide open.
Yeah, decent save from Bazuma.
Yes, he did. Yes, he did. And a lot of people say he had a good game, but I don't know. I was more focusing on his distribution more than anything. They were doing things in this game that was really, really frustrating me, apart from conceding four goals. But there was more like, I know that Man City are quick and they're always going to press you when you're on the ball. And I think Saints wanted more time than they were allowed. And they kept on passing it backwards. They weren't allowed to go forward with the ball. And then, you know, the ball eventually goes back to Bazunu, who then just hoofs it as far as he can. It just goes straight to a City player. And then they come out and attack again, have another chance or score. And then that just carried on. That was the...
Foden goal, wasn't it?
Yeah. Yeah, is that exactly. Yeah, they just kept recycling the ball around the back. And then it goes back to Bazunu. But the thing is, they did this on goal kicks as well. Like, Bazunu would just roll it out to Salisu. And then Salisu would end up giving it back to Bazunu, who's going to kick it. And I thought, why go through all that if you're just going to boot it out anyway? It
gives you a few more seconds of possession.
That's probably it, yeah. Because we all knew how City were going to attack, right? We know that how, you know, low the mood is at the club, and yet we still decided that we could take too much time on the ball, and that was almost every possession. And it's like we weren't expecting Man City to attack at all, because they just wanted to attack at every option, and it seemed to be coming from Cancelo down the left.
Yeah, he was incredible. Can we call him Wow Cancelo? He was incredible. I think the defence was so focused on keeping Haaland under wraps that kind of got ourselves a bit stretched too often. And Kyle Walker-Peters versus Cancelo on our right there. I mean, I feel quite sorry for him because he got his pants pulled down more times than...
Yeah, and I watched Match of the Day, and the analysis from Michael Richards was pretty good, actually, because he said that, you know, City kind of set up to have that four at the back, and they played what the Kanji was playing right back, wasn't it? Because they knew that they weren't going to get a lot of pressure on them. They kind of used Cancelo as a wing back, and they had three at the back.
Yeah, they're basically playing three at the back, yeah.
And it kind of left, yeah, exactly. It kind of left Saints like, well, where do we go? Like, Stuart Armstrong didn't know where to press. Is he supposed to be pressing Nathan Ake, or is he supposed to be pressing out wide to Cancelo? Because Cancelo wasn't playing at the back, it was like, oh, what do we do? And then he had all this space down the left-hand side to attack Kyle Walker-Peters. And of course, the crosses came in, and that was it. You know, it was just, there was just too much to take. And their movement is just too much as well. It's just their game. And I did a piece on Man City for the BBC in the week. It wasn't about Man City. It was, you know, preparing us for this game. So, and during my research, I had the pleasure of revisiting their game so far this season. And I looked at how they were getting their goals and, you know, the movement and the pace is unplayable, because when you've got someone as good as De Bruyne, who's, you know, on the ball, and he can find that any pass, it seems, and Foden, who can find space, and you've got a 6'4" monster who's the easiest target on the planet, and, you know, it has to be the best goal scorer in the world right now.
And it all seems to happen in milliseconds as well.
Yeah. And that's any team in the world's going to struggle, aren't they? And when they're on form and you're not, then it's going to be, you know, it's always going to be double figures, and it wasn't quite like that, was it?
No, I don't know whether that was, you know, us holding them off or City just holding back because they knew that the game had been won. 4-0 seems like not a bad result.
I've been having this conversation since the game with a load of people, and everyone seems to say the same thing. And I was like, how can we get excited about losing 4-0? It was because we expected a lot more, didn't we? It was... And it wasn't that bad. And even Ralph's comments at the end of the game, he said he wasn't unhappy with the performance levels again. I don't know if he's just reverting to that's what he's going to say regardless. But
yeah, he does like to defend his players, doesn't he?
Well, yeah.
But we had basically absolutely nothing to offer in that match whatsoever. I mean, you know, It was a miracle if we got beyond the halfway line.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. Oh, we had that shot from Stuart Armstrong, didn't we? Don't discredit that.
That was it. That really was it. I mean, that was the one speculative shot from about 30 yards out that went straight over the bar.
Yeah.
Yeah, that was all we had to offer.
Yeah, and it took us 10 minutes to get a cross in. And that didn't even trouble Edison. It was just like, yeah, okay, off you go again then, guys. And City just had chance after chance. And you mentioned that Mahrez had a few, and Haaland got one off the post, didn't he? And
Yes, that was quite early on.
And long story short, Cancelo scored. Ralph decides to put everybody behind the ball and just forget about attacking. I don't know if that was his game plan to kick off with. I don't know. But it was all City. But Kev, defensively, we weren't that bad. Like, I mean, you just said that, I don't know if it was whether it was us, you know, just was it just City just holding back? But we did have blocks. I mean, Belakotcha, Adams had a good one. And City had so much pressure and time on the ball that to be only one down at that point, 30-odd minutes or so, I thought we were doing okay defensively. But, I mean, well, the problem we had is, like, we put everyone behind the ball. And then when we did get the possession, we had no outlet. We had nowhere to go. And it was too slow moving out. And then City just pounced again and it just came back at us.
Yeah, I mean, that's just the same trap that we kept falling into. And I mean, most of the match they pushed at the weak spot on our right wing there. Walker Peters gets booked quite early on, so he has to tread quite carefully. And
that's a good point, yeah.
And you got Foden and Cancelo and Kevin De Bruyne working that wing. Yeah, it didn't bode well for us.
But I mean, after Foden scored, from there, I mean, I thought this could be 6 or 7 or even more. I don't want to say what, but. You know, it's not that bad considering. I know we shouldn't be saying it, but yeah, I mean, come on, they just hit United for 6.
Yeah.
Say that again. Did you take a look at the halftime stats?
No, I didn't. No.
Okay. Well, I did because I thought it might make interesting reading. So we had 36% possession and one shot, and that was the Armstrong one against their 12. We had no clear cut chances, no corners. We were just completely dominated. And yet it was only 2-0.
By the end of the match, we had 5 shots and we got a corner as well.
Wow. Yeah, one corner to their 9, I think, wasn't it?
Yeah. The away friends were celebrating that.
Good on them. It's a long journey, long day. Yeah, and then the second half, Mara scores like 4 minutes after the break. And then, you know, there was nothing different from City as well. And they had a chance to bring on some of their youngsters and Grealish. Haaland... of course, had to do it, didn't he? He knew it was coming at some point in that game. The substitutions that Ralph made, what did you make of them? Because he brings on Gineppo and Elianusi in this sort of game and he takes the Armstrongs off. What's that about?
I mean, I don't think it makes a huge amount of difference who you bring off and who you bring on in this match.
That's a good point.
Stu was pretty dreadful, I thought.
Yeah, I don't think he knew what to do, did he, to be honest?
No, again, yeah, what are you going to do? Just give some minutes to the youngsters. Fine.
I just wonder what Ralph was thinking at that point. Like, you're down 4-0 after just over an hour. What do you do with substitutions? Who do you bring on? What are you trying to achieve? Are you actually going to go for it? Or are you going to just damage limitation or what? Because we actually went 25 minutes without conceding a goal.
Yeah, you said that's some kind of victory.
Well, I mean, the substitutions worked, didn't they? Because after he made the substitutions, we didn't concede again. So, but yeah, the result was never in doubt, was it? And I said that, but like right at the start of the game, I just kept thinking, I was watching a broadcast and they were going, right, and the guy who was presenting it said, we're all here today to see Man City beat Southampton, and then laughed. And I thought, you cheeky bastard. I thought, wouldn't it be amazing if Saints could actually pull this off? Wouldn't it be fantastic if they could? And I just started to dream. So I say the result was never in doubt. Of course, you know, it wasn't really, was it? But yeah, it was a difficult afternoon. And again, it was difficult to watch. And I just think, Kev, that we're so lucky that there are 3 worst teams in the league right now. Because this is just relegation form now.
Yeah, at the moment, again, City is not a barometer of our season at all.
Yeah, it was never going to be, but I know that if you have no shots on target, that's not good enough. I don't care who you're playing, right? And it just seems like the players, I don't want to say they've stopped fighting for Ralph, but as much as I like him, if the players don't, you know, or expected that they don't want to play for him, how long can it stay like this?
I don't know. We'll soon find out.
We certainly will. I think it's coming. I honestly do. And I just want to forget this game, Kev, because, you know, as I said, a loss was expected. Give Ralph this week to get ready for West Ham. I mean, if we can't get all 3 points there, then we need to consider this seriously. And you know, City is one thing, but we can't lose to Wolves, to Everton, to West Ham. You know, Everton and West Ham at home. You want to stay in this league, you need to be beating teams that aren't playing well. I know West Ham have picked up a little bit, but Jesus, we need to be looking at 3 points here.
Yeah, we definitely do.
Definitely. Have you got any stats from full time?
Yeah, I mean, like you said, we had the 5 shots. They had 21.
Oh my God.
We didn't have a single shot on target. They had 8.
8 out of 21? What's the percentage on that then, Kev? That's not good. That's not very good.
30, isn't it? Yeah, possession, 65% to our 35%. Ooh. They had 9 corners. We had 1. And the XG as well.
0.1?
0.12, yeah.
Oh, my God. And what theirs was about
4. I mean, Christ knows where that came from, because that ball wasn't going anywhere near their goal.
I can tell you where that come from, actually, when I discussed Man of the Match. But incidentally, what was Man City's XG?
2.23.
Oh, okay. I thought it was going to be more than that. 4 consecutive defeats, by the way. So yeah, that's a great way to end. How do we even pick a man of the match for this one? Because what are we supposed to be looking at? Because I think we have to agree on who defended the best, right? And I think that was Belakotchap. 1 interception, 6 blocks. I guess you could make a case for Perreault, who led the team. Well, he had 3 shots, Perreault. Did he have 3 shots? None of them on target, but 3. I don't even remember them.
I don't remember any of them.
No, exactly. And he pressed the most as well and had 4 tackles. So, but I'm going to go with Armel Belakotchap for, you know, having to prepare for probably the hardest game of the season for him. So, yeah, I'm going to go with him. But interesting.
Getting nutmegged by Joao Cancelo and still playing another 70 minutes.
Yeah. You're not agreeing with this, I guess, then. But, I saw he had a couple of blocks and an interception. He had 6 blocks, actually, so I thought that was okay. But this is interesting, though, Kev. Who had the most touches?
Perreault?
No, it was Bazunu.
What?
Yeah. Who attempted the most passes?
Well, I'm going to guess that it was Bazunu as well.
It was Bazunu. Who had the most carries?
You're joking.
I'm not joking.
It's Bazunu as well.
It's Bazunu. It's embarrassing. And Perreault had the best XG with 0.1. So there you go. He had 3 shots. That's where the XG of 0.12 come from, because it all come from Perreault. And I don't even care if you're playing Man City. That's just tragic. And it's like a Premier League team playing like a non-league with those stats. It's just embarrassing. So with that, Kev, who's your man of the match?
I'm going to go with the man with the most carries. I can't believe that. Really is embarrassing. But yeah, they did have 8 shots on goal and they only scored 4. Haaland only scored 1 goal. That means Bazunu made 4 saves and 4 fairly decent saves at that. I
mean, yes, he did. Yeah.
I remember most of them. Mahrez right at the beginning, right at the death, Cole Palmer as well. That's a decent save.
Yes, he hit it with his leg, didn't he?
Yeah, Grealish had a shot that was just tipped over the bar. I mean, that happened so quickly, I didn't realise that it was Bazunu safe. So
I think his positioning was good.
Even if his distribution was shocking at times.
Yeah.
Yeah, but like you say, his positioning was better and his shot stopping.
And his carries.
Against City, that's going to be the test of any keeper. And, it could have been another match that destroyed a promising young keeper at Saints, but I think he can come out with his head held fairly high.
Yeah, with most carries and most passes and stuff.
Most carries, that's what he's going to be to his family, isn't it?
Stick him up
front. See how many carries I had against Man City.
Yeah, stick him up front against West Ham, Ralph. There you go. You can hit.
On the wing, yeah.
Yeah, why not? Yes, okay, so Bazunu for you then, Kev. Okay, that's good. West Ham then. So yeah, that's on Sunday. Sunday the 16th. That's a 2 PM kickoff, and that's at St Mary's. Biggest wins against West Ham at home then. So we had a 6-2 win in February 1967.
I remember it well.
Well, I was just going to say, I'd love someone to contact me if they can remember that, because I'm sure there's someone out there that goes, oh, I remember when we beat West Ham in 1967. Because, I mean, I don't know, correct me if I'm wrong, but when England won the World Cup in 66, didn't they have a lot of West Ham players there?
Yes.
So a year after, well, it would have been, what, 7 months after they won the World Cup that Saints went and beat them 6-2. So that would have been Jeff Hurst, Bobby Moore, So, yeah. So if anyone can remember that, please, yeah, contact me because I'd like to know. A 3-0 win back in October of 1982 and a 4-0 win in August of 1988. The head-to-head against West Ham then. So we've won 52 games against West Ham and they've won 80 and 48 draws between the two. So, Kev, this is a big one. This is a really, really big one. And I turn it at the top of the show, but Ralph's job's on the line here. I think if you fail to get a result on Sunday, then I fear this could be the final nail in the coffin. Speaking of coffin, need all 3 points and need some goals, obviously. Need some attempts. That would be nice. Needs to happen now. And you know, like the Everton game before, they were in and around us in the table. And West Ham actually played Fulham yesterday, Sunday afternoon, didn't they? And they won 3-1. So they're starting to pick up points. 3 points ahead of us now. And also, I know I shouldn't do it, but I have. If results don't go our way, then we're deep in the relegation zone. Leicester at home to Palace next week, by the way. So, and Wolves actually play Forest. So that's a good thing, I suppose. But, I mean, I'm anticipating a Leicester win and a Wolves win. Even if Leicester pick up a point, it's going to be bad. And if Wolves win, then they go above us and we'll be in the relegation zone. So that's where my head is at the moment, Kev.
Yeah, I mean, God, it's tragic that we're having to talk about other teams' potential results.
And we've only played 10 games. It's,
yeah.
Or 9 games, rather.
I don't know. We should get a result against West Ham, really, shouldn't we?
I don't know. I mean, I would have said before yesterday then yes we can, but they've gone and they've scored 3 goals. Okay, it was against Fulham, but still gone and done it. And yeah, I'm looking at their results this season. They were struggling for goals like us, and as I said, they picked up in recent weeks, but it took them to the fourth week to score their first goal, and they've scored 8 now, and they pulled themselves out of trouble. But they did it because they beat the teams around them over the last 2 weeks. They beat Wolves 2-0 and they beat Fulham 3-1 on Sunday, like I said. And yeah, and also, Kev, they're in the middle of the Europa Conference League group. So
that's right. They've been doing quite well on that.
They're undefeated. And we've seen in the past that teams can struggle to accommodate a cup and a league week. So, I mean, they've scored 7 goals in that group stage so far. So, you have different contrasts.
I mean, we said that about Burnley, didn't we, when they were having the European campaign.
We see it all the time.
They'd just come back from Turkey the day before. We played them and they stomped us 3-0, didn't they?
Yes. Yeah. I mean, they're not playing in the Europa League this week, so...
They're playing on Thursday against Anderlecht.
Oh, they just beat Anderlecht, didn't they? So it's the return leg of Anderlecht. Okay, so yeah, are they away or are they at home?
They're at home.
That's not great, is it? The travel from London to St Mary's then isn't going to be too bad for them.
I don't know. I mean, they're going to have to do a little bit of rotation with that, aren't they?
Yeah, have they got a big enough squad for that? I'm not so sure they do.
Not really.
No, they don't really have a lot. They don't really have a goal scorer. No, they've got a
Scamacus, yeah. He's just started scoring. Yeah.
Well, he's only got 2 goals in the league and they haven't got anyone who scored more than 2. So, like I said, they were struggling for goals, but the last couple of weeks they've done what they had to do and they beat teams around them. And that's what we haven't done. So they are going to they're going to look to take advantage of our current situation. And Kevin, we can't have any excuses now. We can't have a lack of chances. This is it. We need to go out there and get the job done now. The 3 points here, because it's quite tight down there. 3 points will be absolutely huge.
Yeah, and we need to get the first goal in as well, because, you know, the heads are going to be down and the atmosphere is going to be horrific.
Because that worked so well against Everton, didn't it?
Yeah. 5 minutes later.
Yeah, go from thumbs up to middle fingers up in 5 minutes. Predictions then. It's my turn to go first this week. Oh, Kev, I've been back and forth with this because I can see all 3. If we play at our very, very best, then we're going to lose 3-0. No, I'm joking. If we play at our very best, then we beat them. I do believe that. It's just whether we are. And I don't expect Ralph to make many changes because, I mean, you can't look at that City game as a complete failure with the players that we had because they're the best players that we could possibly field.
Yeah.
So forget it. Forget the City game. Play your best team still. Play your best formation. and just go for the win. And I think we can do it. I just don't think we will. And I think we're going to share it. I think it's going to be 1-1.
Ah.
And not good enough for Ralph to stay in the job, I don't think.
Really?
Yeah, I think so. I think that'll be enough. I think that the board have made that already. To be honest, I thought even if they went and beat City on the weekend that we were going to wake up Monday morning and find that he'd gone. So I think they probably said, look, it's not fair to get rid of him now. We don't want to get a new manager in for this must-win game. Let Ralph do it. If he can't, there's an excuse to get rid of him. And if he can, you know, we'll think about it for another week.
I think so. I don't know. I think the board's definitely sticking with him as much as they can. I don't think a loss here or draw mean him losing his job.
You still don't think that?
I don't think so, yeah. We've got a midweek game against Bournemouth. That's going to be much bigger.
Mm. But, I mean, if you can pick up 3 points here and then 3 points against Bournemouth, you're out of trouble. You're mid-table.
Yeah.
No question.
Yeah.
And then you've got Arsenal that you can afford to lose.
His job's virtually safe until the end of the season if you get 6 points out of this.
Well, at least till the World Cup break, I think. But don't forget that we play Liverpool just before that break, before we head to Miami.
Yeah.
Take on the Dolphins and get beat.
Head's going to be on the beach already. Yeah. I'm going to stick with what I was going to say before I heard what your prediction was, and that was also a one-all draw.
Why did you give me such a bad reaction to that? Because I said the same thing. Is that why?
Yeah.
Because you just thought, Ray, come on, you need to... You need to get behind the boys a bit more.
No. That's exactly what I was going to say.
No, okay. Okay, then. So we'll move on to the Discord then. Colt running away with it at the moment. He correctly predicted a 4-0 win, as did Frederick Lazaro as well. So that max points for them. Top of the league. What's Colt on now? He's on 21 points, which is pretty darn good. Well done, Cole. Super sick. Week 12 was won by Kevin Jewell and Jeff Stelling. 16 points to them. And the overall is Kevin Jewell. He had the lead anyway, and he won week 12. So, yeah, Kevin Jewell's on 146. So he is in the lead. Fantasy football, Kevin?
I'll start with my team. At the moment, I've got 65. Well, I do have.
At the moment? You got a Forest or Villa player?
Yes, I've got Dean Benderson.
Oh, I've got Benderson, actually. I had Jose Sa, but I took him out for Henderson.
Don't know why I brought him in, and I don't know why I still haven't got rid of him. But, Pickford was injured, and it seemed like a good idea at the time. But, yeah, 65 points. So, not a bad haul, I suppose. Should have captain Cancelo, but you can't not captain Haaland, can you?
No, you can't.
I've got a little bit of leeway in our podcasters league. I am top 5 points ahead of Oliver Bost. You're in third.
Yeah, I pulled the plug this week, Kev. I don't know if you noticed.
I did.
I triple captained Haaland and well, here was my thinking, right? I thought if Haaland does go off on a tear and score his hat trick, then okay, I'm going to feel like shit, but at least my fantasy football team is going to be brilliant. And as it turns out, nothing happened. So I kind of feel like shit anyway. So he only scored me 18 and he got me the same amount of points as Cancelo, which might have wasted it a bit. But hey, I mean, I wasted my triple captain last year because the player wasn't playing when I put him in. And yeah, I've done it again. So I think
at least you got some points out of it.
I did get some points, yeah. I got 18, as I say. But I've got 59 points at the moment, but I've got Jordan Henderson? Yeah, he's a goalkeeper. I got Dean Henderson to play tonight, and probably, Mitrovic will come out for Jorginho, but that's only going to get me 2 more points. So I still will lose to you because you've got Henderson also.
Tim's had quite a decent...
Tim beat me this week as well.
So. Too. I see some 80s here in that big league. Colt Baker.
Really?
Points, yeah.
Oh, Colt, you're winning everything at the moment.
Yeah, how do you manage that? Oh, he triple captain Thailand as well, huh?
Oh, okay, I wasn't the only one then.
But if we look at that overall. Do you see Heine? She's still top. She's managed to pull off quite a lead here. Fairly average results. And the week before, I don't know when that happened, but yeah, she's terrible. 623
Chris Ambridge with his Ambazinho. Joint second with Marlon Ailing Allen's Obi-Wan Kenobi Nil, both on 610.
Excellent. Kevin, are you ready for Where Am I?
Go on, then.
I feel like I need a little theme tune for this. Remember, you get one free guess on your first clue. Right. Question one for 5 points. This stadium is located 82 miles from St. Mary's.
Is it Northampton?
No. Clue two for 4 points. The stadium is located in the bustling city of Southeast London.
Southeast London?
Mm-hmm. That's from stadium to stadium, as the crow flies. No, do you know what? It's not even as the crow flies. It's an AA route planner, so...
Ah, okay, that would explain that. All right, keep going.
Okay, question three for 3 points. Currently competing in the Championship, managed by Gary Rowett, and had never, ever appeared in the Premier League.
Millwall?
You want me to take that?
Yeah.
Yes, you're right. It is Millwall. Well done, Kev. Another 3 points to add to your tally. I put you on 17.
Yeah. The Den, to answer you.
Yes, sorry. Yeah, I'll go for the clues anyway. Yeah, known for being one of the most hated teams in the country and nicknamed the Lions. The stadium is located adjacent to South London Railway with a capacity of over 20,000. I am at the Den. Is it the new Den now or the Den? I don't know.
Who cares?
Yeah, it's the Beddy Boys Den or something. I don't know. Put me to sleep. I didn't mean that. Sorry, Millwall. Next week, yes, West Ham. It feels like a big game, doesn't it? It feels like it because it is. If Ralph is still in the job by then this could be his last chance. It's win or bust for me. Not for you, though. Then we will be previewing a double week of Bournemouth away on the Wednesday, followed by Arsenal at home the following Sunday. Busy week upcoming. But until then, up the Saints.
Up the Saints.
Up the Saints.
Up at Southampton.
Sports Social Podcast Network.